Hello and welcome to Roll for Topic, a roundtable discussion about topics related to running role-playing games. I'm Chris Salzman.
And I'm Andy Rao.
Andy, we haven't talked in maybe like 6 weeks or so. So this is really good. It's good to see you. We don't do the video on the podcast, but
right.
Good to see you. Good to talk to you. All that. We both got to kind of take a turn at being the only host of the show. I don't know about you, but I really loved listening to our podcast I wasn't on it.
Yeah. I did as well. Yeah.
We're not planning on, splitting up right here on air, but I think maybe both of us need to take a little break every once in a while and just sort of
sleep. Yeah. Neither of us came back and was like, we need to have a hard conversation.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Just a lot of swearing. It's good to see you. We're going to note just sort of up at the top. This is going to be a pretty short episode. We are mired in con preparation. So we do Roll for Topic Con once a year. So we've got that coming up in a handful of days from the time that we're recording this. So Andy and I both have just a giant checklist that we're going through. I was remarking to a friend that it's sort of like when you're planning a convention, especially a convention that is like all around GMs and like celebrating GMing, it feels like you're GMing a bunch of GMs. So it's like we're doing all this prep, right, to make sure that it goes well, which it often does, and it's really because of the people who end up showing up. So I'm super excited again this year for it.
Yeah, me too. I'm sure I've made this observation in past years, but when we do this, the scale of RFTCon is in the dozens of people, not hundreds, not thousands. And like if you and I tallied our hours that we've put into this, I'm not trying to throw a pity party here, but like my mind boggles at conventions with like even just a couple thousand people.
Yeah.
Like just boggles. That would be a full-time job for multiple people as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm. Go hug a event planner the next
time. Yeah, absolutely.
We're super excited. But so I think, we just wanted to touch base kind of real quick, I think, just about like what's going on in our gaming life, because we haven't, Andy and I haven't had a chance to even talk about that, I think, like, offline. So I guess what are you up to these days? It sounds like you got a handful of things.
Yeah, so I have two campaigns that are starting up. Mm-hmm. And that is a really exciting time to be a GM, is that the games are a couple weeks out, so I feel like I have lots of time. In reality, the night before I'll be like frantically cobbling something together. But I have a new 5th edition D&D campaign starting up later this month.
Wow, okay.
For some family members and hopefully some friends. For like my kid is now in college, but they want to keep a D&D, they want to get a D&D game going, so it'll be our excuse to have them coming home every now and then. And
that's great.
So I have 5e, and I haven't really run 5e in a while, so that's exciting. And then I also have a mini campaign. It's just 3 sessions, one a month, of the 2nd edition Alien RPG. So the one that was just kickstarted. So those books are not out, but the PDFs and stuff are. So, that's coming up fast. Wow. And I need to get on that. So both of those are really exciting. They're like really different games, because Alien is this very contained experience. We have exactly 3 game nights, and I have charted out exactly what we need to cover during that. Mm-hmm. Whereas the 5e game, my goal is that this would be a pretty long running game. So like, how can I set this one up to be an open-ended let the players drag us all over the world for hopefully months and months to come. And with Alien, it's like, how am I going to fit all this into a total of 9 hours of playing?
So. Yeah, that is a very different set of skills and approaches there. Yeah. But that's great.
Yeah.
Are you on the 5e campaign? Right? Are you going to use like the revised rules and everything for that?
I'm using the 2024 rules. I started out planning to use Tales of the Valiant, which is one of several games that came out of the OGL fiasco a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
It's of those things that came out of that fiasco, it's the one that is essentially just slightly revised 5e. It's compatible. Like, you can use monsters and character classes interchangeably between them, and you won't really mess too much up. So, but the convenience of D&D Beyond is what pulled me back to 5e. And I kind of hate saying that, because I've ranted and raved about, wizards and D&D and all this stuff in the past, but it's if you want a free place to go make a character and track the characters for a bunch of people some of whom will be casual players and are not going to buy the rule book themselves and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of hard to beat. So
It's sort of the best of the nothing, you know, nothing else. I'm sure there's lots of other like cool, like open source projects that you can self-host or whatever. But if you just want to have like a, hey, just go here. You have your character sheet, right?
Exactly.
Just, yeah.
And you don't have to say, yeah, this is like D&D, but not quite. So if you want to buy it, you got to go to this website. Mm-hmm. You can't go to the local game store and pick it up. You know, this it's that, what is it? The network
effect. Yeah.
Effect. Yeah. I mean, and that's
vendor lock-in walled garden,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. The Splatbook people coined this delightful phrase for it. I have a sticker of it. It's the online corporate spendoscape.
Yes.
So anyway, I am locked in. So actually, that said, I am actually trying to rediscover my enthusiasm for D&D. So like, yeah. I was like, I'm never touching D&D again after that OGL fiasco. But I miss it, you know, and I like, you know, I pick up these rule books and I like them. I like flipping through them. I know the system, you know, it's a very comfortable system for me to run. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this is, I mean, I'm already getting enthusiastic, not just about running a game, but about playing D&D again. So, so that's like a pleasant side effect of this.
Yeah, we were just chatting briefly about this. Like, there's something about like fall for me that like really just makes me want to play like kind of a fantasy game. Right, like, you know, I get the same feeling. Like, it makes me like fall makes me want to revisit like fantasy novels and like, yes, I don't know, yeah, play D&D again, right? Like, there's, I think there's something about the like the freezing of the world for me really what makes me want to turn inward and kind of like look for some of those things that have been like comfortable in the past like that. So like, yes, I've also been thinking about like, oh, is there a way I could get a, you know, short campaign or of something going just sort of like between fall and winter, just kind of, yeah, play something that is sort of comfortable to pick up and play, right? Like that. And like, I don't know, like in a way it feels like a very low stakes game for me, right, to run right now as a D&D game versus trying to pick out like the perfect indie RPG, right? Like that, I just like really want to get on the table. It's like, oh no, like we're just gonna play D&D. Everybody sort of knows, we know how to do that already, right? And there's something about that that just feels like really, I don't know, just pretty great.
Yeah, I have a couple thoughts about that. So yes, it is a very, very GMing in autumn always fires up my GMing instincts. I don't know what it is. It's a cozy feeling. I think there's just something about, I mean, especially we live in the Midwest where it gets snowy and stuff. There's something about seeing that like kind of period of cocooning coming, you know, where like your outside stuff is going to, you're going to have less outside stuff and you're going to be stuck indoors more. And there's, I mean, that's not always, winter in Michigan is not always a lovely experience, but there is that cozy feel. And what's more kind of comfortable than like, hey, it's cold outside. Let's play D&D inside where it's warm, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think like, I've often thought that, yeah, like D&D could not have started in California, right? Like in Southern California, right? Like, you know, you need like the harshness of, I think, the Midwestern winter to really kind of put a fine point on like the seasonality of stuff and like what kind of like hardship can actually be versus, you know, 70 and sunny, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
And I know you grew up out there, so like, I know, whatever, you know, you can have an opinion, but.
And there's one last quick thing. So I've had this experience, you know, numerous times over the years. I love the variety and diversity of RPGs that are out there. I love all these cool stuff, the big games, the small games, the weird quirky stuff you download on itch, you know, I love all of that stuff. And I hope everyone is just venturing all through the diversity of this hobby and the games they play. But there is, I often find myself, it's almost a relief sometimes where I'm like, reading different, which system should I use? What game would be perfect for this campaign? And there's always a sort of relief when I finally get to the point where I'm like, you know what? Like, I could just run this in D&D and all this stress would go away, you know, like this of learning a new system, of teaching, you know, maybe some new or innovative mechanics to players with a wide variety of experience in the hobby. And sometimes there's just, it's, you know, you can kind of settle into that D&D like comfy chair, I guess, you know.
Yes. Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't know, maybe we're tired, maybe that's what's happening,
but that's possible too.
Yeah. So I was gonna say, so on my end, right? So I'm kind of noodling on that, you know, like, oh, could I just run some sort of D&D thing? You know, so as part of the con, we do this thing called the swap table where everybody sort of brings their let's say well-loved or well-intentioned purchases in the TTRPG space and just puts them on a table and you can kind of just grab whatever.
Optimistically kickstarted.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. There are a number of things that I think go straight from like the Kickstarter to swap table.
Yeah, they're still in the shrink wrap. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a really nice thing. It's kind of like this, you know, like it's just like a, you know, hey, I'm gonna put a bunch of stuff on there. You're gonna put a bunch of stuff. We'll sort of redistribute things. So I think there's a copy of Fate that I think hits the table like every other year, right? Yes. So like it's stuff like that.
I have picked up that copy of Fate off the swap table and brought it back to next year's con swap table at least once, maybe more than once.
Andy, I found a copy of Fate. Fate Condensed and Fate Accelerated all on my shelf yesterday.
Yes. Yeah.
So I don't know, but one or all of them might end up on the swap table. But so I was going through all my stuff and like, right, I kind of like looked longingly at like the stack of D&D books that I have there. And like, there's a few that I've bought, I don't know, in the past few years that I just haven't even really opened, but like I have all the best intentions in the world. So I might grab one of those. I think I have the Candlekeep Mysteries and the Fandelver book that came out too, which like I've run that starter set or starter kit or whatever it was called, of The Lost Mines of Fandelver before, you know, a couple times. And so, I mean, I think it'd be nice to just like pick that up again, right? Maybe like start to the end of it. Such a good
adventure. Like one of the best starter adventures they put out.
For sure. Yeah. It's super good. Yeah. So like that's kind of got my eye. So I don't know. I'm going to see what happens there. I know like I'm still playing in the campaign that Matt Wilson's running in the Warhammer Fantasy universe. So like that, hopefully, you know, can get to some sessions of that.
And just to remind me, that's
the Enemy Within.
The Enemy Within. Yeah. Yes. So, you know, I realize that it's, I guess we don't want to spoil stuff, but like, can you give us a big picture look of like what's going on in the campaign?
I don't know if I can without spoiling stuff.
Okay.
It's like, yeah,
right,
it's,
yeah, that's fair.
I mean, yeah, right. It's a really fun campaign. And
well, here's a question.
I don't know how much we're sticking to it either, but
yeah. Here's a more specific question. So like what kind of adventuring has it been lately? Is it like big magic and swords battles? Is it, you know, spies and infiltrating? Is it urban dungeon crawls? Like,
oh,
just
yeah.
Curious.
Yeah. Oh, that's a really good question. Yeah. So our party, does sort of a lot of magic stuff, a lot of magic stuff and a lot of sword fighting and, you know, things like that. So the character I'm playing, I'm sure I've talked about this on the podcast, is, she is a, like a seamstress, right? So she makes clothes and stuff. And so she uses like needle and thread magic, as her sort of her main attack stuff, which is like super fun. I'm very happy that Matt's sort of rolling with my odd character choice there, but it's been fun. Fun to just play that out at the table. But yeah, so we've got a couple of characters who are heavily invested in corruption magic. So if you're like, I guess, familiar with that.
Are they like turning into hideous mutants?
Not yet.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe that's a spoiler too.
I know. So far the roles have gone okay, but they are externalizing their corruption, and I will just say there's probably a couple towns where we are not invited back if anyone were to make any connection. but it's super fun. It's like it's a fun kind of universe to play into, and like,
Sure.
Yeah, so that's good. But then the other thing I've been thinking about, right, is Halloween's coming up, and I really like running Halloween like one shots too. Like, so I've done a handful of them over the years. So I'm starting to think about like, yeah, what I could do there.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you have any germs of ideas that you want to share yet, or not really?
No, the only one that I'm thinking about is like, so I have I've got a couple friends who like, so my daughter is now in fifth grade. So I've now got a handful of nerd friends who have nerd children. So I'm wondering if there's something I can do there where it's like, you know, adult and kid playing at the table in some way. So that's sort of the initial idea that I have.
Every age is good with kids in its own way, but fifth grade is, I mean, it's a little young for like D&D, but it's also you could capture a lot of magic that will not be there in like 2 years.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I told my daughter that she was like, got really excited about Halloween yesterday. Uh-huh, I was like, oh man, it's going to be like, this is going to be the best Halloween of your life. And she's like, oh, but like, what about next year? I'm like, you might be too cool for it next year.
Yeah.
I don't know. And she just looked at me like, how could that possibly happen?
Yes.
But yeah, it's great. Like there, I mean, I feel like there's a 90% chance she's going to go as one of the members of the K-pop Demon Hunters.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be a ton of kids dressed up like those girls. But then they've also been, some of her friends have been talking about going as like Owl House characters as well. So it's, yeah, we're fully in the fandom age.
what a wonderful time. At that age, my kids were also just fully into it. And
Yeah.
What a delightful time.
Yeah, it'll be good. Yeah. So Halloween's always a fun time for us. So I think I want to try to run something. Yeah. So I just got to kind of figure out the idea. Usually with one shots, it'll come to me in sort of a bolt of lightning someday. I'll just be thinking about it and be like, I got to do it. Right. Toby, I was talking with Toby and he referred to a lot of my one shot ideas as like bits that I just commit to, like committing to the bit. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to own that because that is absolutely what I do. It's like, you know, I get the idea and I just can't get it out of my head. So I got to see it through.
Well, you are one of my favorite people like to talk to about this sort of thing because you have run some of the most wild one shots. Was it last year that you had? What was it like? What's that castle toy?
Oh yeah, crossbows and catapults. Yeah,
yeah. So at RFTCon last year, over in the corner, Chris's game table has a whole game of crossbows and catapults set up over there, and people are like flicking little siege things at the walls. And yeah. I mean, so you are the king of like the gimmick one shot.
Thank you.
It's so delightful.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I will own that. Maybe it's like a cover for not being very good at mechanics.
Well, obviously, yes.
So I guess that's sort of what I got going on. Otherwise, right, we've got the con coming up, so I'm anxious to play in a couple games. This is the first year where we are not running games.
I know
we have enough other people who have signed up, so I'm really excited to just get to play a bunch of games with people.
Same.
Yeah,
it's going to be awesome.
Some stuff. So yeah. I think that's about all I have going on. Do you got anything else you wanted to mention gaming wise?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I'm excited. It's, I'm going to get overwhelmed, but you know, right now I'm in the high, the GMing high, because the reality of like the game is in 2 days. And I still have this 300-page book I meant to read 2 months ago.
Yeah, cool. All right, well, I think that'll do it for us. So next, let's see. So this episode is going to go out in a couple days. And then the episode after this will probably be something that we record at the con. Usually we record the trivia. So I'm super excited about that. Andy, I know, has been working on that for months and months at this point.
Afraid that I have. Yes.
Yeah.
I will still be panicking the night before over it. So.
Yeah. And I will say it's always great. I mean, you can go and listen to our past, you know, few con related episodes where we've had the trivia on there. It's always just a blast. So I think,
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. So that'll be that. And then we'll be back to sort of our normally scheduled programming after that. So anyway, appreciate everybody who's listening in. And I think I will start doing our wrap-up stuff then.
Sounds good.
Cool. Yeah, so we're Roll for Topic. We're part of the Roll for It Media Podcasting Network. Our sister show, The Splat Book, is great. You can go listen to them at thesplatbook.com. You can also go listen to Andy and John on Zombie Strains. I'm a little bit behind on it. So I guess, Andy, what was the most recent episode? Do you know?
So the most recent one is kind of a milestone episode because we just released an episode on Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like the infamously, you know, often described as the worst movie ever made.
Yes. Yeah. That's like the OG bad movie. Is it? Yeah. Well, I mean, I should go listen to it, but I guess what's your sort of like quick one sentence take on it? Like, did you enjoy the experience or was it as bad as everybody said says it is?
Probably the best way to say it really does embody that idea of like so bad it's good.
So that's awesome. Yeah, cool. All right, well, I'll go listen to that. You can find them at Zombie Strains. I think zombiestrainspod.com.
I think it's zombiestrainspodcast.com, although I don't actually know. Anyway, find find us wherever you find us on your podcast app of choice.
Cool, that sounds good. All right, well, that does it for us. I've been Chris Salzman.
I've been Andy Rao.
Remember, if your player's having fun, you're a great GM.